Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance, and an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading verse 9 one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then turning briefly to Psalm 1, Psalm 1 tells us these words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to pray your word, to stand on your word, to read your word, to speak your word, and to draw on the grace and the blessing that's ours as we learn to put your word, the sword of the Spirit, to work mightily in and through our lives. With every passing day, more and more empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Father, we thank you for our guest and the ministry that we'll be focused on today. Lord, anoint the broadcast with an even greater anointing, and we pray that you'll do a mighty work in the hearts of every listener today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to pray for us as well.
Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to come before your throne today. And Father, we agree with the psalmist that you are our strength, you're our shield, we're helped by you. What a hope we have today with all the chaos and the things going on in the world today, that we have a God such as you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Once again, a reminder to you that By Design is a special project that's been initiated by the American Family Association to help strengthen and build up marriages. By Design Monthly challenges are ways for married couples and their families to engage and grow closer together as a couple and in their walk with Christ. For the month of August, our challenge is the Covenant Challenge. We're asking married couples to go to afa.net/by-design, where they'll see a document to read and sign as a symbol of reaffirming their commitment to fight and uphold God's covenantal design for marriage. And keep in mind, By Design's mission is to educate and encourage people to embrace God's design for marriage and family as the fundamental building block for all human civilization. We want to do that by providing solid biblical articles and podcasts, and also by having challenges that will allow us as well as our listeners to be doers and not just hearers only. For more information on this challenge and upcoming challenges as well, go to afa.net/by design. Again, that's afa.net/by design. Again, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Many of you are aware of the fact that we've had the Ten Commandments speech contest going on over a period of a few months. Well, of course, it came to a close. The deadline was the 31st of July, and our judges completed. And I want to mention that our first place winner was Isis. And of course, for our purposes, we're only mentioning their first names, but Isis came in first place with her speech. So we're going to take a moment to listen to Isis as she shares her Ten Commandments speech.
Hi. Yes, thank you for having me. Today I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. But first, I would like to give a brief recap on what the commandments are. The Ten Commandments are biblical rules that state the basic religion and moral idea of Judaism and Christianity. The Ten Commandments, according to the Bible, were given from God to the Israelite leader Moses on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were written on tablets by God for the Israelites. As Moses came down from the mountain, he was in shock and utter disbelief that the Israelites were worshiping a golden calf. Enraged at the idol worship, Moses then smashed the tablets. But at God's command, he carved the commandments into other stone tablets. The Israelites then kept it in a wood ark. However, the Christian teachers believe God has stamped the commandments on the heart, mind, and souls of all human beings to remember what thus saith the Lord. The Ten Commandments appear twice in the Old Testament, in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 21. The two versions differ slightly in grammar, but the message is still the same. The first group of the commandments deal with the duties towards God, and the second group concerns relations among persons. I have chosen to speak about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, because to me it takes one out of life, and God wants us to live and prosper in this world. Thou shalt not murder is in reference to taking of innocent lives, not in reference to eating food. Even animals killed to eat and are killed to be eaten. This is just one of God's many designs. Thou shalt not murder is a commandment that God has given us to obey. It was intended to stress the fact that life is sacred, that God alone gives life, and that no individual has the right to arbitrarily take it from another person. The commandment refers to premeditated, unjustified killing. What does unjustified mean? It means not shown to be right or reasonable. It means the taking of a life of an innocent person. God ordered righteous judgment on people whose corruption had led to extreme misery. God yet does not give man the right to take the law in his hands. In my conclusion, I believe if we as people would follow the rules set by God, we would not have auto murder. Especially in our youth. Youth today needs more encouragement from their parents, teachers, and society. I have been told that it takes a village to raise a child. Parents need to get their basic instructions from the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Again, that was the speech by Isis, who did come in first place in the speech contest. Isis is 15 years old, and our second place winner was JD. And JD is 10 years old, and here's JD's speech.
In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God plainly lays out what we call the Ten Commandments. Although God wrote his law on stone tablets, we see all over Scripture how the Lord has written his law on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "For this is the command that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." This fact is even restated in the New Testament. In Hebrews 10:16, what does this mean? Well, it means that we all know right from wrong. Take, for example, the ninth commandment, bearing false witness, or as we call it today, lying. Lying is a horrible sin that breaks the relationship, disintegrates trust, etc. We must know that God sees lying about taking a cookie as bad as lying about whether you murdered someone or not. Lying is lying. There are no white lies to God. Speaking from experience, lying is not easy to stop on our own, but with God's help, we can. Let us remember that a lifestyle of lying is walking in darkness, and walking in darkness leads to hell. As John wrote in 1 John 1:6, He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So let's all practice truth-telling and walking in the light.
Amen. Again, that's the second place winner in our Ten Commandments speech contest, J.D. And again, as I said, J.D. is 10 years old, and we've been so encouraged about the results of the Ten Commandments project. We are planning to do it again and to further develop the speech contest. We did end up with 27 speeches. All of them were outstanding, so it was tough to choose the first few place winners. But again, we appreciate every young person that participated. So if you're wanting more information about it or how to plug your child in next time, just get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. But again, a tremendous discipleship project. It's been very fruitful. Hope that you can help your children get involved next time. We are honored to have with us as our phone guest today, Jeffrey Ryan Barber. He's the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm great, Pastor, and thank you so much for inviting me on your show. It's a real honor.
An honor and a privilege to have you on, and I would ask if you'll start by basically further introducing yourself and then tell our listeners basically what the Mississippi Home Educators Association is all about.
I'll be happy to do that. As you said, I'm currently the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. We call it MHEA for short. I've been a board member since the year 2000. I've been married for almost 30 years to Lisa, my very best friend and co-laborer in service to our Lord. And I have to stop for just a moment. And, you know, the Proverbs 31 man says of his wife, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I have to say pretty much the same thing about my wife. She does so many things to help me and to minister to the homeschoolers of Mississippi. She's just tremendous. And then I have five wonderful children. I have three girls and two boys. They range from ages 14 to 28, and we've home educated them all the way from the beginning. We still have the youngest one in school. The others have graduated, but as you can tell, we've been at this a very, very long time. So, as far as the MHEA is concerned, let me just segue and talk a little bit about our organization. MHEA was formed in 1990 by a group of godly men who, along with their wives and children, were part of what I would call the rebirth of home education that took place in the mid-1980s. And I was privileged to have known and worked alongside several of these men and so appreciate what they did. And these men wanted a state organization designed to help homeschooling families in Mississippi based on Christian principles. And I'll sort of stop here and just say that we are, without apology, a Christian organization. We affirm with the Apostle Paul that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And forgiveness of sins is wholly by faith in Christ, apart from any human works. So that's our bedrock. But even though our emphasis is Christian, we certainly seek to help Mississippi families who wish to home educate, regardless of their religious affiliation. And our organization is really sort of an umbrella organization for local support groups throughout the state of Mississippi. If you go to our website, www.mhea.net, there's a drop-down menu where people can locate support groups in their area. And these support groups are an opportunity for people to meet locally with other homeschooling families, for the kids to get together, to do activities, to share ideas, to mutually encourage and support one another. And so if I had to summarize it, I would say our mission is really to enable, equip, and encourage families in Mississippi who choose to teach their children at home. And we carry out that mission in a number of ways. Probably our most visible activity has been the annual spring conference that we've had for decades now. And historically, we've hosted helpful workshops and keynote speakers on a wide range of home education topics. And
Jeff, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Jeffrey Ryan Barber, the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. We'll be right back.
Trust in you.
music from Planet Shakers with Only Way, reminding us that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Jeffrey Ryan Barber. He's the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. Jeffrey, if you'll pick up right there where you left off, please.
Sure. Well, I was talking about one of the ways we carry out our mission to minister to home educators is through our annual spring conference. And we've had some great speakers there over the years, Alex McFarland, Vody Baucom, Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. And we always have workshops as well. So our spring conference is really a very big thing that we do. Of course, COVID-19 has interrupted that. This past year, we had to do it virtually, and we're still trying to decide what we're going to do about this year. But we like having that spring conference because it's an opportunity to educate the home educators and to provide some encouragement to them. And we do other things, too. Our website and social media, Facebook, Instagram, we've got just tons of information about homeschooling and opportunities for homeschoolers.
Okay. Share your website one more time again.
Yes, it's www.mhea.net.
All right. Okay. And would you, at this time, Jeff, very specifically define what exactly homeschooling is? Again, most people probably know, but there may be lots of people who aren't really familiar with specifically what it is.
And it's a really great question. My definition is that home education is the teaching of children primarily in the home, primarily by one or both parents. Now, I say that all of that very deliberately. We've had people call my home, and they'll ask my wife if they can send their children to my home to be taught. And my wife has to explain to them, that's not homeschooling. If you give somebody else, if you're turning it all over to somebody else, that's some kind of school system, but it's not homeschooling, even if it takes place in a house. Mm-hmm. So homeschooling is primarily that which is done by one or both parents. Now, having said that, homeschooling can include co-ops. There are many groups around the state where, for example, a father who may be a chemist will come in and will teach chemistry, or a mother who's an engineer will come in and talk about engineering. There are also plenty of online opportunities for particular subjects. I was never good at physics, so when I want my kids to know something about physics, I might very well hook them up for an online course for that. My wife and I don't play the piano, but we wanted our children to learn the piano, so we hired someone to teach them. Mm-hmm. My youngest son is taking online courses right now in specialized subjects. But those supplement the things we do as parents. Primarily, the teaching needs to be by the parents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if someone listening was to ask you this question, is that really legal? How would you respond to that?
Oh, it's absolutely legal, and Mississippi has an extremely good homeschool law. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, I'm sure your audience extends beyond Mississippi, it's legal in all 50 states, mm-hmm. although the requirements do vary from state to state. And in Mississippi, we really have a great law. You have to turn in a certificate of enrollment each year for each child that you're homeschooling. And beyond that, the parents have complete freedom to come up with a curriculum that works best for their child.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, Jeff, something I think of is like, I think it's very important for us to acknowledge the fact is, of course, most children do go to public schools, and there's a great need for the believers, for the body of Christ, to always pray much for public schools because they need a lot of help in this day and time. That's just the reality of it. And I think it's important for us to know, too, that once upon a time, many years ago, the Bible was the primary textbook in public schools, but that was a long, long time ago. And nowadays, sadly, in many regards, people would say it's against the law to teach the Bible. Actually, there are ways and instances where the Bible can be taught in public schools, but it's kind of in a narrow, unique way. But would you share your thoughts on why it's so important for us as parents to understand the need for us to give our children a Christian education one way or another?
Pastor, you know, you hit on a very interesting point. We recognize that many parents are not going to make the decision to home educate, and you know, that is certainly their decision, and we certainly pray for them in whatever system that is, public or private, and we do want those to be the best that they possibly can be. One of the things that led my wife and me to Home Educate, though, is that we wanted to be able to shepherd our children's hearts in the things of the Lord. And from our point of view, homeschooling enabled us to really put into practice 100% of the time the principles of Deuteronomy 6, where, as you know, Moses was talking to the parents in Israel as they were about to enter the Promised Land, and he said in Deuteronomy 6, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." And so home education really enables us to put that into practice 24/7. We are quite literally walking through life with our children. And, you know, in my home, we actually were able to, we worked the scriptures into the curriculum. My children learned handwriting skills by writing down Bible verses, and that not only helped their penmanship, but it helped them to memorize the scriptures almost effortlessly. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what led us to homeschool. We also certainly wanted to protect them from negative influences that can exist in other types of school systems, but mostly we wanted to be there to shepherd their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you say to Jeff, too, with all that's happened in our culture over the last year and a half with the pandemic, how has that affected you and the Homeschool Association?
Well, it's really very, it's an interesting dynamic, Pastor, because, you know, before 2 years ago, the vast majority of parents who homeschooled did so because they chose to do so. Mm-hmm. When COVID hit, people suddenly found themselves with their children all the time. Employers sent their employees home to work remotely. Schools were closed down, and learning was taking place online, perhaps. But I think a lot of parents actually had an opportunity to be a little more active in their children's education, and most of them would not continue that, but some of them, I think, began to see some benefits to it. And mm-hmm. I've seen some statistics that show a slight increase in homeschooling even after schools began to open up. Mm-hmm. Of course, now we're faced with this Delta variant. And just to give you some perspective here, normally we take about average two calls a week on the MHEA phone line. The last 2 weeks, we have gotten over 106 phone calls.
Quite an increase.
So it's an incredible increase. And just from talking to people, some of them simply are concerned that the schools are going to shut down again, and they're trying to get ahead of it. Some of them don't want their kids to have to wear face masks all day. Some may just not want them to be around other kids until this passes. They just don't want to expose them to the virus. There could be a lot of reasons, but for whatever reason, COVID-19 seems to be driving an increase, at least on a temporary basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to ask if you'll take time specifically to pray for listeners to really hear whatever the Holy Spirit's telling them. There may be some parents who are listening who may be seriously considering homeschooling, others who may already be homeschooling but maybe see a need to be more effective at what they're doing, others in many different places, but there may be aspects of it that may really benefit every single listener. Would you just pray that they would hear whatever the Lord wants them to hear through what you'll be sharing today?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Father, I first of all want to thank you for all the parents and children that are listening to this broadcast. Father, we know that not everyone is going to choose home education. Our prayer, Father, is that you might use this broadcast to at least get some parents thinking about the possibility of it, and perhaps that they would be able to see some of the benefits of it. And I pray, Father, for those who are already homeschooling, that you would encourage them. It can be very difficult and challenging at times, and I pray, Father, you would give them the strength and the endurance to keep on keeping on. And I pray for all of the children involved, that they would see this as a very good experience for them. And so we just commit the broadcast to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, would you say, too, Jeff, say, for example, there are single parents who are listening who are thinking to themselves, they would really like to homeschool, but don't see how in the world they could possibly do that. Do you have many single parents that manage to homeschool?
There are some, and of course, we don't have statistics on all this, so I can't tell you how many. I can just tell you by some that we've talked to and anecdotally, it can be done. It is more challenging, certainly. One good thing about, at least in Mississippi, is we don't have to keep the same hours as the public and private school system. Mm-hmm. So if a single mom or a single dad has to work during the day, schooling can happen at night or on the weekend. So it does allow some flexibility that I think benefits the single mom or the single dad. Again, it's harder. It's more challenging. I think it's the ideal situation is for both parents to be involved, but it can be done, and we've known people who have done it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to ask you if you'll pray now for single parents who desire and have it in their heart to homeschool.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Father, I pray now for single parents who, for whatever reason, tragic necessity, whatever, find themselves alone in this homeschooling endeavor. And I pray, Father, that for the ones who are thinking about it, perhaps think they can't do it, I pray that you would give them some hope, that you would help them to look up the resources that we have, that they might be encouraged to try it. For those who are currently doing it, we know it's a tough job, and so we pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them and let them see the fruit of their labors as a form of encouragement. So we commit them to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. And you know, Jeff, I think of this, that it's so important for every parent to take serious the responsibility to be discipling our children. And, you know, too often sometimes dads or moms may sometimes feel like, well, I'm not really equipped to do that. Well, you know, the fact is you have to start somewhere, but it's important to know God doesn't really give us an option. He clearly calls us to disciple our children. You alluded to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll probably take time to read that in just a few moments. So, but the clear mandate that God gives us to, as a lifestyle, teach and train our children to know and to walk with God. And so it's so important for us to understand that when parents do choose to homeschool, that's a great tool to help you do an excellent job at that. Any further thoughts you want to share about that?
You know, one thing I will add to that, just as a footnote, on our website we have a 60-minute video with written materials on how to begin homeschooling. And in one section of that, I direct my attention pretty much to the fathers, because, you know, in Ephesians, Paul tells fathers, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I really challenge fathers in particular to be very active in teaching the scriptures to their children and, frankly, helping their wives in the homeschooling endeavor. Very often this falls on the wives, but as dads, we're the ultimate, the buck stops there with us. And so I just really encourage dads to be actively involved in teaching the scriptures to their children. And if somebody is a new Christian or they don't know much about the Bible, just read the Word of God. The Word of God is its own best commentary. And so just read the scriptures to your family, if nothing else, and that's a good starting point.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's such an important point that I think many believers need to grow in their understanding of how critically important it is to be a student of Scripture, a believer who's reading and studying the Word. But also, it's so important for parents to have their children read out loud to them as well. You know, sometimes a child, say, in family devotions may sort of fall asleep or be daydreaming when dad or mom is reading to them. But when they read to dad and mom, they have to engage, because it involved basically your entire being. And for many parents, having their children to read daily, I like to encourage 3 chapters a day. It takes about 15 minutes, but it is so productive because God's Word has power in it all by itself. So you make an excellent, excellent point. So.
And I'll add this too, you know, the parents are going to set the example. Mm-hmm. So if the kids get up every morning and they see mom or dad sitting there with an open scripture, sends a message to the kids. This is a priority. This is something mom and dad do.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's so important to know too that children are always watching parents and listening to them. You know, too often you have parents that will say things like, well, my children don't listen to me. Don't believe that. Children are listening all the time, and it's interesting how often you can run across an adult that says things like, mama used to say, or daddy used to say. Children are listening. They really, really are listening, so that makes it an an important point for us to know. So we need to make the most of the conversations we have and the lives we live before them as well.
Right.
We're coming up on a break again, and we'll pick up on the other side there. My phone guest today is Jeff Ryan Barber. He's the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land.
The music of Rich Mullins, Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Jeffrey Ryan Barber. He's the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. And before Jeffrey comes back, I'm going to take a moment specifically to read the passage that he alluded to, Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jeff, you know, just as it relates to this passage, again, the one that you had alluded to earlier, it's powerful that it teaches us as parents, not only are we to teach and train our children in the Word of God as a lifestyle, it even alludes to how we decorate our home, that even putting the Word as part of the decoration of our home is alluded to there as well. But other thoughts to come to your mind about the specific instruction God gives us in that passage about discipling our children?
Well, you know, in addition to the things we hang up on the walls, you know, what kind of music do we listen to? What are the conversations around the house? All of those things can either reflect a Christian attitude or not. And so those are so important in communicating the faith to our children. And, you know, one thing that occurs to me is some people, you know, they start homeschooling or they're thinking about it and they're just saying, wow, can I really do it? What's the end product? And I could give you so many examples on the academic side of homeschooled students who have gone on to become doctors and lawyers and politicians, and there are just some tremendous academic benefits to home education because it's allows the parents to tailor the material to the way the child learns best. And so it really is tremendous from an academic perspective. But more so than that, the character of our children, and I'm going to give you one illustration of one of our former board members who is now with the Lord. But he raised his children, homeschooled them all the way through, was very, very diligent to disciple them. And he was speaking at our conference one year, and his adult son, who was a Marine, asked to introduce his father. And this young man stood up, and, you know, men were just weeping all over the auditorium as this young man, I'm tearing up as I talk about it, as this young man introduced his father as his father, his coach, his teacher, his mentor, and his best friend. And that just spoke volumes to the relationships within that family, and you could see that reflected in all of the other children. And there was just a godliness, there was a respect, there was an honor. Here is this Marine giving public testimony to the fifth commandment by honoring his father. And I just thought that was a beautiful example, and this is a family that we look at them and we see, you know, what happens when parents are very serious about this. Now, there are bad homeschool stories too. I don't deny that, but that to me, that's just a beautiful example of careful shepherding over the course of many years.
You know, that's a powerful testimony that you just shared there too. And you know, Jeff, I think of this too, that I would think one additional of many benefits of homeschooling is that, you know, the reality is children grow up very fast. And they're born, and a few days later, they graduate from high school and may be gone to never, ever come to live with dad and mom again in many instances. Yet homeschooling gives the parent the opportunity to spend more quality time while the child is growing up in a way that many that don't get to homeschool just don't get. So
that's exactly right. And you know, another thing I'll throw in as far as the benefits, you know, you've got the formal education part, but there are informal opportunities that happen all the time just because we're spending so much time with our children. And sometimes those informal teaching moments stick better than the formal lessons. And I can remember one time when my kids were very, very little, we were sitting in a restaurant, and I just happened to pull out a quarter, and I said, "Whose picture is that on the quarter?" And they didn't know. And I said, "Well, this is George Washington. He's our first president." And so I basically was able to use a quarter sitting at a restaurant table to teach American history. And my kids, my oldest kids, they still remember that to this day. And those lessons kind of stick. And so you have so many opportunities like that to informally teach because you are spending time with them.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we use the term teachable moment, but one wonderful thing about listening to the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit can give you teachable moments all day long in every moment as we learn to listen to Him. So
absolutely.
Well, share with our listeners one more time the website if people are wanting more information about the Mississippi Home Educators Association or homeschooling in general.
Sure. Our website is www.mhea.net. We also are on Facebook, and we are on Instagram.
Okay. And what would be some important ways that listeners could pray for you, Jeff, and for the ministry of the Mississippi Home Educators Association?
Well, certainly pray for us with wisdom. For wisdom, we're trying to cope with what we should do with our spring conference in the spring. You know, this Delta variant is certainly throwing a lot of plans up in the air. So that would be the primary thing. Pray for us as we monitor legislation that can affect the family and home education. I would say those would be the main things.
Okay. I want to take a moment specifically now to pray for you. Father, thank you for Jeff. Thank you for the ministry and the organization of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which it has and continues to bless many families and individuals in so many ways. Father, anoint this ministry with a fresh anointing. Give them wisdom, guidance, and grace. Help them just to hear your wisdom and direction about how they would plan and conduct their conference in the spring. And also, Lord, give them favor and open doors. And I pray that more and more you would use them in such a way that they will become a greater and greater blessing to the body of Christ. Father, use it to help people that are being called to homeschool their children, but also maybe others who will simply learn insights and wisdom and truths from the work they do and the way they do what they do, and other persons who may just draw on the wisdom they find on the website as well. But more and more, I pray that you'll make them a greater and greater blessing to the body of Christ as you would have them to be. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Jeff, tell me this now. How would you like to see the church be supportive of your organization, your ministry?
Well, it's an interesting question. There are churches out there who actually have their own support groups within their church. Mm-hmm. And they may or may not affiliate with our organization, but I would say that's a tremendous opportunity for churches to have their own homeschool support groups and for the leadership of those churches to support that effort. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we would like for people to affiliate with us, and we would like for people to come to our conference, and so to the extent churches would promote that, that would be a fantastic thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and of course, obviously, too, as parents or individuals, as they choose to homeschool, they can plug in with the organization. But also, would you just for a moment share about, you've already mentioned about co-ops with homeschooling, but I've heard of children who maybe they get to go to do band in the public school, but in other words, there are different combinations where sometimes homeschoolers can still connect with entities within the public school system. Is that something you can speak to?
Yeah, that's actually kind of a controversial area. Mm-hmm. And in Mississippi, at least, there's no legislation. It gets introduced each year, but no legislation has been passed. Mm-hmm. There are some public school districts who will allow home educators to participate in certain kinds of activities, sports, band, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So those certainly are some options that are out there. Sometimes private schools will allow that as well. So those opportunities are sometimes out there, mm-hmm. But not always. Okay. One thing that we have observed is that homeschoolers tend to be a creative bunch of folks, mm-hmm. and there are a number of homeschool sports leagues throughout the state of Mississippi. Hmm. And there are drama groups. And so there are these things that are popping up as mom and dads say, you know, we can do this. And they put together these various opportunities for kids.
Hmm. So different creative ways to really give them extracurricular activities like sometimes the public school may offer as well, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Right. Okay, then. Well, before we end our time, before our time comes to an end here, would you pray for whatever's on your heart as it relates to the listeners to better understand your ministry and ways they can connect with you?
Sure, I'll be happy to. Father, I want to thank you for all the parents who are out there. And Father, for those who choose not to homeschool, we certainly respect that, and we pray that they would be active in the lives of their children and shepherd them in whatever schooling environment they choose for them. Father, for parents out there who are just considering home education, I pray that you would use our organization to be able to give them information so that they could make an informed decision. And for those parents who make the decision to home educate, I pray, Father, that we would be able to encourage them, to help them. I know that there are days when homeschool parents want to just beat their heads against the wall. It is hard work, but it is so rewarding. And so I pray, Father, for those who fall into that category, that you would just give them the ability to keep on keeping on and to be able to see fruit from their labors. And so we commit that to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. And in these last few moments of the broadcast, as usual, if you're listening today and you've never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to give your life to Christ. And remember, if you want to spend all eternity with the Lord, Jesus is the only way to do that. Would you simply pray this prayer with me if you'd like to give your life to Christ and be saved today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please definitely get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share some resources with you to help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please let us hear from you. Jeff, again, thanks so much for being with us. Share with our listeners your website one more time, please.
Sure. It's www.mhea.net.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Again, that was Jeffrey Ryan Barber, the president of the Mississippi Home Educators Association. Hope that you'll pray much for them and the great work that they're doing. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.